What a night!
Yeah, got some great pics on my new Galaxy S23 Ultra. Us on the dance floor.
Love it. Can you send me that?
A group selfie.
Fit! How do we look that good?
Nightography, babe. Stunning photos, even in the dark.
Like in that dingy karaoke booth.
Exactly.
Send me, please.
And then this late night masterpiece.
Wow!
Right? Not bad for some fried chicken.
Send me that too.
The new Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra with epic nightography. Available now at Samsung.com.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. What are you tapping away there, Bobby Sue?
The news and the sport.
Thanks.
Weather.
Okay. And at this time, what are these stories you're working on? Go on.
Well, there's been announcement from the World Athletics. There's also an England game tonight.
Okay, then. Email johnny at radiox.co.uk. When and at what time do you think this was recorded? I'll reveal the answer at the end of this podcast. do you know what? Coming up this week, we've got Feathered Scumbags at it again. Gemma Collins goes on a spiritual journey. Ha! And the woodman's got the world's fastest bear thrusting away in his right little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
So, do you know what I did at the weekend?
Where?
I went to the Falas.
What's
in
that?
Valencia.
What's that?
It's a firework festival.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole town shuts down and everyone just lets off fireworks.
You're kidding.
And I've always heard about it.
Mm.
And I sort of thought, well, I got a night off here. I'm going to go to Valencia. I'm going to shoot
okay,
over.
Okay, yeah. Bit of fireworks.
I get on the old easy jet. get down to Gatwick, away I went.
Lovely.
Do you know what?
Why not?
Lovely.
And
do you know something, yeah? It was insane.
Was it?
Yeah, there's just people just like, it's like kids just throwing bangers around. It was like Glasgow in the 60s.
What, all night?
Yeah, they're just everyone's just letting off fireworks.
Yeah.
Just for the buzz. Like, everywhere. I mean, it's just crazy. I'm like a kid walking along, he's just like, with a rocket and a bottle. He's letting off. He's not thinking, wow, this is, it's really restricted to like one day a year in Britain. And they won't trust us. And even then it's special shops. And it was just.
Was there no pets indoors or anything?
Gav. Do you know what the fireworks during the day are only about sound?
During the day?
Yeah.
What's the point?
They don't, because they like the sound.
Just the bangs?
The bangers. Yeah. I did the one in Barcelona for the summer solstice once. And
no,
again,
I bet you did, yeah.
And it was...
Were there bands?
Was that when you sacrificed that guy time?
It was literally same. Yeah, right. It's just
the
fireworks. It was drinking carver on the beach and fireworks. And you're right, and it's terrifying because they're just tiny children throwing bangers.
Yeah, I bet.
Daytime fireworks.
I never forget the time we sacrificed that goat. Anyway.
Since that was the carver.
There were no fireworks.
There's no fireworks.
I've just looked it up. Barcelona has no fireworks festival. No, it was all the lights in the sky. Anyway, so Valencia, it's only at 2 o'clock on Sunday. I mean, everyone's going crazy for it.
Right.
And the tension's building up. Everyone's got these particular neck scarves on.
Right.
To show you've been there. And all the ferriers in. A ferry is like a week-long fair that happens in Spanish cities. And I love them. They're fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you why, because I always like things that are in a state of partial law. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, like after you won a major football game, partial law.
You can walk in the streets.
Yeah, you can walk in the streets. Cars have to stop for people, no matter where. I mean, they should do anyway.
Mm.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, this firework starts. This firework display starts 2 o'clock Saturday. I mean, 2 o'clock Sunday. And it's just the loudest thing I've ever heard. My hotel was
at
one street over. Admittedly, I was really hungover, which is not a time for this. And I tell you, it's a bit odd to have a fireworks party. And the guy says, no, it's only about found.
Yeah.
Not just for the Mexican noise.
It's just for the noise.
My God.
It was like the Somme at its height.
And you had a hangover.
God.
And you were thinking of having an afternoon nap, perhaps.
It was so loud. It was so loud.
It was a bangover.
It was awful.
That sounds
it was
horrible.
Just awful.
And I imagine, you know, it didn't matter if but you had very like double glazed windows.
No,
that was
no,
not
no,
going to
no.
make
They're
any
just
difference.
Rattled.
Right.
But do you know what I did? I found, because I had you always have to check out your hotel. It's like, you know, I had some time to kill before the flight.
Get your bearings.
What am I going to do for the afternoon?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can't, literally, there's no taxis about. I can't really go to the seaside. It's not quite hot enough to sit on the beach. What am I going to do? Bank holiday Monday, let's apart from just watch fireworks. And so I went to this restaurant. It's a Dutch restaurant, oldest restaurant in Valencia. And it's just right by my hotel. It's in this beautiful square. Just had a bit of sun filtering through the trees. I'm thinking, this is a really good spot. If I get a table, I suddenly saw these people about to leave. And it was the only table available. And I was so keen to get it. Why did I just literally sidle up? I waited for the bloke to stand up and I literally slid in underneath him.
Yeah. You were like a gull.
He was just gone. It was, I was like a gull. He didn't even know I was there.
Right.
He got off. He's moved off. All four of them have moved off. And two Germans, well, four Germans then approached the table.
Yeah.
And he just looked staggered at me because he came head on. And to him, it just looked
He didn't see you.
No, he didn't see me.
It looked like magic.
It just looked like the Spanish have done this extraordinary bit of magic.
So one man walks away and there's another man sitting there.
He's looking going, you're sitting here. I go, yeah, I'm sitting here. And so he was still standing there with his wife, looking bemused at the speed at which this, exactly what had happened, this bit of magic.
It was ninja work.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. It appeared like I emerged from the spirit of a departing Spaniard. And by that departing, I mean leaving, not dying. Mm. Anyway, so I said, look, if you want to just sit here and share the table, I don't really mind. You can, you know, he says, there are four of us, we will sit here. You sit on the corner.
What?
I was like, you're kidding me, right?
He changed the game.
Yeah,
up.
He wanted to then sit with four of him in another couple, and I go on the corner.
Yeah.
No.
I assume you said, yeah.
you said no.
I said, do you know what? Forget it.
Right.
Forget it. No, I'm not having four of you.
No.
You know, it was lucky I had the International New York Times with me, so I was able to really flounce with the paper. Like,
nice. Be gone with you as you flounced the newspaper over.
Flounced with a broadsheet.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid they're at it again.
What? Who?
The feathered scumbags.
Oh, no, not the gulls.
Yeah. According to...
what do they want now?
According to Toby Tarrant, scriptwriter, The Daily Star.
Do they okay stuff with Toby before they
do,
go to
yes.
print?
Yeah, they have to, yeah. Especially the sports
editor. He's like their night editor.
He is. He's the midnight today guy. Psycho flying scumbags.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Seagulls, we call them.
Yeah.
They've attacked nearly half of the population. Oh. Not at once. That would be extraordinary. 30 million people. Oh, have you ever been attacked by a seagull?
No.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, every time. If I go to the local pond, Clapham Common. Feed the ducks. Gulls are in there. Ducks don't stand a chance.
No.
Not if it's rough at sea and they've all come in.
That's true, yeah. I haven't met my local dump. It's gulls.
Yep. Okay, I was just envisaging you just on your way to the downstairs loo.
No, like when I go to the refuse collection area.
Yeah, why don't they love a dump?
I know,
they?
It's like you're on holiday when you're there. The sun's out, it's quite cheery.
People aren't dumping fish, are they?
I know.
It's like the seaside.
I know.
They also, they know when Glastonbury Festival's finishing because they descend.
Oh, do they?
As everyone leaves.
It must be. It must be like a Hitchcock movie at the end of Glastonbury.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Who spreads the word to the coast?
They know. They just know.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Really?
They know to head to Somerset. Yeah.
Well, when the music stops.
Yep.
They read the ley lines.
Time. Guys, it's time.
Do they fly along the ley lines? Okay, anyway.
Go on.
They go mad for our chips, ice creams and battered sausages.
Mm.
Sausages and ice cream again. It's the fat, isn't it? It's the walls, fat.
Chips.
Oh, yeah. It is. That's exactly it.
That's what they're after.
They like emulsified.
They love pork fat.
Emulsified pork fat.
Yeah.
But get this, vicious seagulls are going to overdrive.
Mm.
The thing is, do they meet up? Is there an annual meeting that we don't know about? We're all the sort of heads of the seagull chapters.
And they escalate things. Yeah.
We're going to go over it this time.
Yeah, we're going to go
mess
in
about.
Mob handy.
Shut it. You know, it's like the London seagulls. And there's like coastal ones like that.
And Southend seagulls
as well. From Southend. And that's probably the influence of Cockneys. Once again, it'd be the influence of, like...
There must be loads. There must be Scottish seagulls, Geordie seagulls, all kinds.
Oh,
all
aye.
Around the British Isles.
Oh,
and they've all got their own tribe.
Yeah.
Geordie Gully. It's probably called someone else.
And Northern Irish as well.
Yeah, there'll be Irish gulls here, isn't it? They're a wee bit more militant. They're more principled.
Is that your takeaway?
You know, don't touch his takeaway. Yeah, right. Do you think they're a bit funny about it in Northern Ireland? See, they are.
They must be. Look, we need to know. We need a report from that area.
Touch his tabs. In Northern Ireland, if they just are a little bit more, I don't know. Got to be more respectful of people. But anyway, get this, Gav. In the past 12 months, almost half of everyone in Britain, 48%, 32 million people, despite hasn't happened to any of you, but you're not seaside dwellers.
Yeah, yeah.
Said they've been targeted, according to a poll by Car Shades. That's Car Shades.
What?
Yeah. Joanna Hammond says, my daughter Amber and I were sharing a bag of chips when three girls just swooped on us and carried her off.
What?
No, I'm excited. What? There wasn't much more to the story. So
carried off the chips.
Yeah.
Not right.
One grabbed the bag and shook it. The other two grabbed at the chips, which fell. It was like we've been mugged.
It's teamwork, isn't it? Yeah.
But then there's actually the Star says, sometimes you wonder if reports on things are getting worse are just exaggerated or if the perception is that something is worse rather than it being a fact. Mm. Are psycho seagulls getting worse? Today, we can say conclusively, yes, they are.
Conclusive.
When the good weather does finally arrive, make sure your ice creams and chips are well hidden.
Right.
The Star sagely advises British holidaymakers, because these little peckers are here to stay. Yeah?
Right. Terrifying.
Terrifying.
We interrupt this track to inform you about selling your car the motorway way.
Ooh, what's the motorway way?
It's the sell your car from home way, whilst dealers compete to give you their best price way. Your car is even collected for free way.
No way.
Yes way. Now, where were we? Motorway, the way to sell your car. For T's and C's, visit motorway.co.uk.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
So, your man, King Charles.
Yes.
Is, he's advertising for a chef.
Ah.
A cook. A royal
a
cook.
Yes.
But what's really weird about that is, imagine actually going in there and they want food fit for a king. No, but it's one of those things, isn't it?
Food made of gold.
Mm. And what sort of food is it? What do you think is for a king.
I'd love it if they had someone who's like specialised in those kind of ridiculous feasts.
Yes.
Holes.
Well, with like nine different birds stuffed inside each other.
And you put a snipe in a quail, in a pheasant, in a chicken, in a goose, in a swan.
Yeah.
A massive Henry VIII.
Yeah, and then, but now fry it and stick it in a bucket.
Right.
Like the royal, the king fried chicken. But,
fantastic.
So Buckingham Palace, they want a new chef. You got to have vegan dishes.
Okay.
What I'd love is if they regularly did this and they sort of really slipped up and there was stuff we didn't realise. Like, the king seeks a new juggler. Yeah, but we didn't know there was at their banquets.
Or if the chef doesn't realise, he's expected to perform as well.
Yes. Well, just think there's a whole load of them round their feasts, like you say, son, with these feasts. And it says the six dwarves sought by king must do acrobatics and juggle.
And somersaults.
And do that thing with sticks. With a sort of, must be able to somersault.
Juggling.
No, seriously.
So funny.
Acrobatic dwarves required urgently for royal feast.
Oh, man.
Also, jugglers, a jester.
Sure.
King needs jester.
Mm.
Definitely.
If we found out, if there was still a jester and he wore that outfit and his humour was still sort of dated.
Really
and
medieval,
And physical.
Also, jesters, if you're always on call, which you were, because it would depend on the king's mood, you'd need, six of them?
Yes.
Keep going through the week? That's always on call, up to all night?
No, you only have one jester who was favoured, and actually he was quite a horrid man. But what I'd like is if the king was talking to, say, President Xi Jinping, China was over, and he was having the meeting, and suddenly the jester came up and was like, if it takes a man a week to walk a barrel of grapes, how many apples are there in a keg of fish? Ask a Cornishman, they're all stupid. Ha-ha! And then he went off and
starts capering around.
Chinese president
silly
is
dance.
Like, what the? Who's that guy?
What the hell is that?
It's just one's jester.
He's new.
He's a bit medieval.
Yes.
He's new here.
My first is in cake, but never in. And they're like, what?
What?
The hell's he doing? No, he's just. No. And the king was like, silence, he's a riddle. Go on, jester.
Entertain us. Let's have another riddle.
No, and then what we discovered was that the Chinese, they really loved it.
Yeah,
they thought this is great, especially when they saw that the king was cruel to him.
Definitely,
And you saw Xi Jinping thinking, well,
I'll get some of these.
Perhaps the English aren't so bad after all. They certainly seem quite cruel to staff. I like that. If you saw the king openly beat his jester, do you think?
Definitely.
Marvellous, marvellous. Perhaps we still have a thing or two to learn from the English.
Yeah. Radio X.
Every day of the week, the woodman furnished with a hero. Yesterday, the world's biggest cock. Today, you've got the world's fastest bear.
I know, and this is amazing. So, the hero today, Johnny, is Yogi the Bear.
You're kidding.
She was a two-year-old black bear, a female. She was, at the time of this incident, the world's fastest bear. In 1962, the US Air Force had a Cold War monster of an airplane, a four-engined, delta-winged, supersonic bomber jet called the Convair B-58.
Wait a second.
Hustler.
So, Gav, hang on a second.
Yes.
This isn't like a... This you're going to tell me something amazingly cruel they've done with the bear here, aren't you?
Exactly right, yes. Like any winner of the Dickin Medal, none of them volunteered, John.
No, they had no choice. It says that on the Animal Woman. You're not going to tell me this was dropped from a plane or something?
No. Well, kind of.
To test a piece of equipment.
Kind of. It was the world's... This plane, the B-58 Hustler, was the world's first supersonic bomber. It looked like a very pointy fighter jet. But as with planes designed to fly very high and very fast, they were tricky to fly at slow speed and low altitude.
Right.
They had that, you had to have that very steep landing angle like the Concorde, yeah, which is why they had to drop the nose on the Concorde, because you couldn't see.
Anyway, so they got a bear to fly it.
Anyway, the other problem with this plane was the prospect of ejecting any of the three crew at high speed. This plane could do 2 times Mach 1, 1,500 miles an hour. So very dangerous for the human body. So they created a rocket-propelled pressurized pod that would encapsulate the pilot completely. And it had survival supplies, and it could even float. And they had no pilot to test this, obviously, because they didn't know what would happen.
Yeah, right.
So up stepped Yogi the two-year-old bear.
Okay, I get it.
And on today, March 21st, 1962, they tested it for the first time.
Oh, God.
At 35,000 feet at 850 miles an hour.
Oh, God, bloody hell.
They fired this little scarlet pod, burst out of the top of the Hustler in a 225-foot arc with a giant flame coming out of the bottom of it. The parachute opened, and after a seven-minute gentle descent, the pod came down to a gentle rest on a Texas desert floor. The rescue crew ran to the pod, opened it up, and Yogi the Bear burst out, killing them all. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She went on.
Great end to the story.
She was absolutely fine. She went on to form the first bear squadron for the US Air Force.
That's nice.
But she was, at the time, the world's fastest bear. The next bear that came along, which also survived it perfectly fine, was called Big John. He did over 1,000 miles an hour.
I wish he'd been
being
tough,
ejected. I know.
Hey,
I know.
The US Bear Force.
Yeah.
So, no, Gav, sounds like the US Bear Force had a great recruit. His centre with the sport.
Yogi the Bear.
Yogi the Bear, join 1427 thing. We salute you. Thank you very much, woman. That was immaculate.
By the way, there's a photograph of this bear being ejected from the plane. You can look it up.
But there isn't.
Absolutely,
like, I know,
amazing.
I want the picture of their face just to see what a bear makes of all this.
I know.
Craziness.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
The future of Virgin Orbit. You know the thing that never orbits? Mm.
Was this something that Branson designed?
Yes.
And then that was it?
Yes, it could. I'm afraid it could be in doubt.
Okay.
The future's in doubt. It's never left Earth.
Was it a drawing for a while?
Yeah, this is there's the Virgin Challenger.
Mm.
Then there's the Virgin Orbit, wasn't there? The Virgin Space. Something. Anyway, I'm afraid it might not be going up.
Is that the one that they tried to launch on the back of a plane?
It's that one, isn't it? Yeah.
From Cornwall.
Yeah. The piggyback thing. Yeah.
Nothing to me says the home of space travel like the Dark County, the Devil's County.
You need a lighthouse when you're going to send a rocket to space.
Keywords, failed attempt. The company has announced that it is pausing operations. Okay. You can't pause something that hasn't happened. There are no operations.
Yeah, yeah.
There was just a jumbo jet that failed to take off.
That's right.
With a spacecraft on its back. That's not an operation.
No, it's not.
I mean, otherwise, every single static 777 is part of the...
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the company has announced that it's like we said ages ago about a headline that heralded that someone was planning to do something.
Yeah,
a plan isn't a headline.
That's not a headline.
And you all texted in your plans.
Sure.
Some of which, well, I've got to tell you, were more eye-catching than the paper that
day. And more likely
as
well, yeah.
But he always says, Virgin Orbit is planning to go to Mars, and it'll be in the headlines. You're thinking, they've got as much chance as me. Basically, they're starting with a static... Well, no, they got a few more chances because they already own a plane that's not doing anything.
Yeah, right.
But if I said I plan to buy that plane and go to Mars when I... then
it's the same headline, yeah.
Right. The company has announced that it is pausing operations as it hunts for funding. If you fund that, you are mad. Or criminal. Or you're looking for a way to launder money.
Yeah.
There's something going
on.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what. Because if you do, you just put money. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. They just say they were designing a suit.
Doesn't get more offshore than 1.2
billion. What to design? What? Well, those shoes. Those shoes. Special space shoes.
Yeah.
Special space shoes. Special space shoes. And it's just a pair of moon boots covered in tin foil. Gets 1.3 billion.
Yeah.
And look, there says moon boots.
Space shoes. Yeah.
The Branson's boots. Employees are said to have been told that hundreds will be put on unpaid furlough, with only skeleton staff maintaining critical functions. What critical functions?
What functions? Yeah.
He got a plane that's on a tarmac.
That's right. It's just not happening. Yeah.
Yes. And also, what do you want a furlough from? We've got to take a rest from what? From
going to space.
From failed attempts. We're taking a break from failed attempts.
UK Export Finance can help your business grow overseas. Last year, we helped UK exporters access £7.4 billion of support by providing government-backed finance and insurance. We can help you win export contracts with attractive finance terms. Got orders overseas? Fulfill them with a working capital loan. Exporting to a challenging market? Make sure you get paid with the right insurance.
To get the exporter's edge, search UK Export Finance or call us on 0800 538 5111.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. You all right, Shunta?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, you look all rugged up. You had a busy day?
No, busier than normal. Why?
Okay, but how's your day been? Has it been all right?
Good.
Gav, how's your day been? You all right?
That's so cagey, Shunta.
Yeah,
my
day's
cagey. My day's been fine,
John. What's she been up to?
She's hiding something.
I did a radio show.
Oh, my God.
On Radio X Classic Rock.
So you know someone who's cagey at what?
Between 11 and 3
when you ask
day.
A straightforward question, does she seem surly? If so, call us now. She might be up to something.
It's just because when you said busy day, like you knew something I did.
No, it's just really weird. Why have you done something? Because I was really suspicious behaviour.
No, I haven't.
Do you know someone who's acting suspicious? Just a normal question, if it's quite a cagey answer.
I'm rugged up because it's freezing in here.
That's how I like it. That's how I like it ever since the air conditioning. That's why the show's got better.
Yeah, except it's frozen my shoulder.
Yeah.
No, that'll be a rotator cuff, Gav. No, you need one of those.
It's that cold blast just on this
shoulder.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But it's probably your rotator cuff will be suffering from that. Yeah. Oh, you're going to blame the industrial accident.
Yeah. Definitely.
Engine at work.
Definitely.
I do sit near air conditioning.
I can't use my arm.
Can't use your arm.
Your golf swing's gone completely, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it affecting your leisure time?
I can kiss that career goodbye.
Yeah, that's it. You'll never make it now. Does your shoulder hurt? If so, we'd love to hear from you. Little Simon, incidentally, Gav, you all right? You had a good day?
Yeah, very good.
Little Simon, what about you?
I've had a great day, thanks.
Why, what have you been up to? Because from where I was looking, I'm not saying I've gone along everyone just because I wanted to get to you. No, I'm just saying, but what happened? I'm just interested because I arrived at the office early. Gav and I had a couple of jobs to do. Went off to do some jobs. I came back and you seemed just to be messing around.
Yeah. Well, you notice anything about me?
Well, you're wearing a polo neck.
No.
No?
Well, I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
You're not wearing glasses?
That's not it.
Oh, yes. You're not wearing glasses?
Actually, no. I've just forgotten to put them on, but yes. No, that's...
They're an accessory! Oh, my God! He's one of those people. He's like an influencer. No, it is like those people on, like The Only Wears Essex when they want to look intelligenter. Is that what you're doing?
No, it's not, actually.
So what is it we're supposed to notice?
No, wait.
Come on.
You haven't had a haircut, definitely not.
No,
yes, I have.
No,
you haven't.
Oh, really?
I can't really see. You got headphones.
Wait, did you go in there and say, can you leave it exactly like it was before?
Oh, no, but your headphones like, have really left a massive dent
like
in it.
Like Mike Pence. Yeah. You're the Mike Pence.
He is. He gets a haircut every 7 hours.
Talking of Towie, if you want to read the funniest thing you'll maybe ever read in your lives... Read 60 Seconds in the Metro today with Gemma Collins.
Oh.
Everybody loves the JC. I've been grafting on my spiritual growth. She says she's been on a spiritual journey.
Fascinating read.
But you know what her spiritual... She says, thing is, I've done everything I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what it says? No, she says her ambitions. I've met Paul Hollywood.
Wow.
I plan to go to the Taj Mahal.
That's number right. two, yeah.
And I'm going to sing a duet with Jane McDonald.
On a cruise, yeah.
Christ alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's insane.
No. They are all very achievable things. So that's nice for her.
She wants to have a photograph taken by the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Like Princess Diana.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, honestly, you read this. I would do it on air, but it just feels cruel.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, good luck to her. Good luck to her.
Just for me,
on her quest.
On her quest.
But everyone loves the GC.
Everyone loves the GC.
She's really into gardening at the moment. And do you know how we know?
Yeah.
Because she spent £400 at a gardening centre.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's right.
She's also been grafting on her spirituality.
That's right.
Love that. The idea that you have to graft.
You graft. You got to graft.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's Essex. They graft. Everything's a graft, isn't it?
Sure.
But yeah, she's been to a gardening centre, spent £400 on strawberry seeds.
Right.
I'm not going to say, anything.
Listen, once you've met Paul Hollywood, what else is there
to do?
That's
what she said.
What else is there left?
She was asked the question, what if it's true that the tent is really hot on the Bake Off, which she's just done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
And she says, "Hun, I was too busy watching Paul Hollywood."
Right.
Hun.
Yeah, presumably because honey, not because the person she was talking to was German.
No, she doesn't use it in that sense, I don't think. She's not that aggressive.
She might. But also, what was interesting is that when she was asked about baking, she's a freestyler.
Yes.
She says she varies the amount. She doesn't care. Can I say, you can't do that with baking.
No, that's the one
I know for a fact, from being on that show, you mess up, there's a few margins with butter, but basically if you mess up it, you can't bake it, won't rise.
One gram out and you're messed up.
It won't work. It's one of the only bits of cooking, Gav.
You can't mess with it. There's no freestyling.
It's a
science.
It's a science.
Yeah, it is. Radio X.
Okay, Gav, are you ready for this?
Yes.
We've got our top 10. Well, it's not our top 10, although the top one is very good. Because it's for your purists.
Sure.
It's International Poetry Day. One of us, it might have been a producer, a little sigh, spotted the fact there was a headline, jaw-dropping case of sharks missing head.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful rhythm.
So that's the first. It's got a lovely rhythm. Da 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 da. There will be a way of describing that rhythm.
Sure.
My favourite description of any poetic metre is anapaestic catalytic tetrameter.
Wow.
Now, if you say that to someone who really knows their English,
as opposed to iambic,
they'll actually go da 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 da. So it's a three beat da da da.
Yeah.
So it's da 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 da. Anapaestic catalytic tetrameter.
Wow.
Would you believe it's only used in one form of literature?
Really?
Yes. It's used in the comedies of in the plays of Aristophanes.
Right.
Only by the chorus after the interval.
Very specific.
Yes. The chorus, the people who ask the questions that the audience is asking.
Right.
So they're going, what will he do? Where will he go? Woody Allen loves using it as a device. Sometimes in films like Mighty Aphrodite.
Wow.
He has a call, what will they do?
Mm.
Where will they go? Will he chop their heads off? In this case. So.
Sure.
I don't know what rhythm this is, but if you are really good at English and you know, do tell us.
Sure.
Da, 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 da. Here we go. Suntus, what's at the bottom of the curate there? What have we got?
Oh, we're starting at the bottom?
Yes,
yeah, we're starting at the bottom. Work up.
Jaw-dropping case of sharks missing head. Listeners do the heavy lifting, leaving the Fangang contented.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
I feel watched.
This is Graham and Tony Pandy. Jaw-dropping case of sharks missing head. Flour, water, yeast. Hey, presto, you've got bread.
That was a
Thank
good
you
one.
Very good.
That
Graham
was an early Tony. Strong
it
one.
It was an early shower. Gab, what do you got?
I love this one. Jaw-dropping case of sharks missing head. Before we rise for battle, we say gentlemen to bed.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Dr. Stunt, what you got next?
Jaw-dropping case of sharks missing head. Any fish is bad, but a horse's head I dread.
Very good.
That's very good.
In fact, you can tell the easier it is for Stunt to read, the better they are.
Yes.
No, and for all of it, I'm just saying that one really...
Yeah.
Geez, you've never looked at me like with that. Literally, I've actually feel like one of my arms is kind of a bit...
Because I find it very off-putting if there's too many...
Yes.
consonants?
Syllables.
Syllables?
Mm. Yes.
Sure.
Well, if the meter's not right.
Exactly.
Meter, that's the thing. The meter should help you. Mm. Sometimes I get this when I'm reading books to Milton.
Right.
And it's like about what the caterpillar said.
It's a bit of a rhythm.
And they sort of mess it up. And you sort of think, it doesn't go. You've hammed it up for the fox. The Gruffalo is a particularly bad example of
this. Yes, and you get a little frown on the child sometimes.
Yes. They're looking at you like, that didn't flow.
That didn't flow.
Your lyrics aren't flowing, Dad. Right, you ready for this? Jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Tough John don't do poetry. He sculpts the guns instead. You'll know that. Hey, who's turned the heating up in here?
I don't know.
No, not me.
Someone has. It's you, Sunta.
It's
you
not. I put my jumper on.
It's Gav because of your shoulder.
No, it's not me, but I did. Sunta does smell of the heating device.
Whoa.
She smelled
I've
a bit of it.
I sat next to Sunta in first lesson. She smelled of bread.
She smelled of bread.
Okay, there we go. What you got, Gav? What have you got?
Jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Tomorrow night, old Mr. Trump will get a prison bed.
Nice. Tomorrow night, old Mr. Trump will get a prison bed. That's easy. You should have got that one.
I did.
Sunta, don't mess this up.
Georgia. I feel like I'm at school.
Oh, concentrate, Sunta. Concentrate.
This stopped being fun about 20 minutes ago, by the way.
It didn't. Okay, go on.
Jaw-dropping case of shark missing head. Kraken waiting off the shore to take the rest to bed.
Yes.
Love, nice.
Okay. Jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Homicidal squid from the scene quickly fled. Steve from New Forest. Brilliant. Sean in Wiltshire. Jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. There's more to Channel 4 than repeats of Father Ted.
Very strong.
Genius. I'm sorry you're not enjoying it, Sunta. Here we go. But I think the listeners have done rather well. Jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Conte's lost the plot. Tottenham's season's dead.
Yes.
Genius. In at number 2, jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Bloated local seagull has been seen refusing bread. Brilliant. And in the top spot, jaw-dropping case of shark's missing head. Dad's got it mounted on a plaque above the bed. Get in there, Nick and Sudbury.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much to all of you. Obviously, Sunta, you know, still cheesed off with that. I thought it was good. I thought they did really well.
No, but you weren't being told off constantly.
You work on your rhythm,
Sunta. You weren't doing it right.
X. Sell your car the motorway way, where dealers compete to give you their best price.
Compete? Like a rap battle?
No.
Kind of like, man, that ride is nice. I'll give you a really, really, really good price.
Please stop. The dealers compete so you get their best price for your car.
No way.
Yes way. Motorway, the way to sell your car. T's and C's apply. Visit motorway.co.uk.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
A couple who fell in love as teenagers have married 60 years later.
Aww.
What? That's a long time.
That's quite a thing, isn't it? They've married 60
years. Were they together all that time?
No. Len Albrighton.
Albrighton?
Yeah, Len Albrighton, now 79, he was about to go to Australia when he proposed to Jeanette Steer, 78, but her parents forbade her to go. You're not going to Australia,
young lady.
So he traced her to her home on the Newport on the Island of Wight in 2015. She had an husband.
Right.
Yes.
But...
drama.
He waited for that husband to die.
Okay. That's very chivalrous.
And then after this is an epic tale.
And then after a period that seemed appropriate...
Right.
They've just got married last month.
Oh, that's sweet.
Cute.
60 years on.
Wow.
I just want to know, you know, what... Really, who have you ended up with? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, no, after a long time, 60 years later, they sort of ended up with each other.
Yeah, they did.
See, it's a lovely tale of romance.
It is lovely. Yeah.
But who have you... What I really wanted to know is the longest out there for any listeners, because this is our love hour.
Oh, to end up back with someone.
No, just the longest gap between meeting someone and actually getting married. That's sure. 60 years.
Yeah, it's quite a long time.
Probably going to be hard to beat, I'd think.
I mean, that's a lifetime, that is.
You never know with our listeners. But also, just tell us about who you've ended up with after a long time. You're not getting married, whatever. Just who you're still sort of with.
Yeah.
I've got 14 years.
Have you?
Yeah.
14 years on the clock.
No wedding.
And how did you, is this the romance? How did you meet her? You're still waiting for that?
Pain.
So are you going to try and beat this record then, the 60 years? Okay. So, where did you meet?
In a tea room at a train station.
It was in a tea. I offered him a cigarette.
He had a light. Going off to war.
He had a light. How did you? If you don't mind discussing, if you don't want to discuss it, somebody.
Who's my Brixton Academy New Year's Eve?
Rock and roll.
Oh, it's the rock and roll equivalent.
Roll. I held his hair back while he was sick.
That's actually quite true. That is what happened.
It was by the stage door.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not even kidding.
What, you held his door while he was sick?
Well, I didn't actually go anywhere near
hold
him,
his
but
hair.
He was sick after we'd had a kiss.
Oh, it's nice. Who said it was
after? At least it was after.
At least it was after. Not what? What do you mean, not during?
This is real Vera Lynn stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's so romantic.
No, that is so romantic. Because when was this? That was last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not long ago.
So, and what gig was it?
It was, we were DJing. It was a big XFM party.
Do you know what I like about it? Was it a big XFM party?
It was an XFM New Year's Eve party.
Wow.
And you were DJing. Was he DJing as well?
Yeah.
Were you both sort of looking at each other, DJing, and just getting all, just like, yeah, I like what you're doing.
No, what he likes to remind me is that he was in the main room before John Kennedy.
Yes.
And I was just playing in the foyer.
Were you?
Yeah.
My God.
I tell it's turned on him, though.
You were DJing in the foyer at a cocktail bar.
Brixton Academy. Well, I met you. Gav, what about you, if you don't mind discussing?
It's 20-something years since we first got together, yeah.
You're not near that. You're married, though. You might even get near that 60.
That's right. It's been 20-some years.
We met
like
at
that.
A vodka tasting.
That's right.
What happened?
She was a friend of my brother's girlfriend at the time.
She was going out with my brother.
No, her friend was.
So she was going out with my brother, but as soon as I saw her...
I'll tell you a weird one. Her dad was my school doctor.
Really?
How weird is that? I didn't know that.
Wait a second. Are you saying that both father and daughter...
Don't go there.
...have cupped you?
Don't go there.
Brilliant.
I must be unique.
Yeah, you must be unique. You really must be. So
I must be,
her dad cupped you and said cough.
Yes.
Oh, that is so good.
Why
did you never tell me that?
I've told you
that. Yeah, your father cupped my coracles and told me to cough when I was 12 years old. And can I just ask you, who's got a...
who's got colder hands?
No, who's got the golden touch? Yeah, right, okay. Who's got colder hands? Yeah.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
I met my wife in 99, massive attraction. But alas, she was engaged to be married. I went to that wedding. It didn't go well. 10 years later, we flirt, we got together. Long story short, I've been to both of my wife's weddings.
Wow!
Nice.
Hey! Thank you very much indeed, Adam. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Adam waited for love. How about that? And flirted, you know, stuff like that. We got into like a heavy flirt situation.
Sure,
like, you know,
yeah.
We're flirting, like, you know, the atmosphere. Everybody in the room knew it. I like it when people say that, when people have just been hammered drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd had a couple of drinks, but everyone in the room knew there was an attraction. Because I was shouting stuff.
I kept arm wrestling her.
Pulling her.
Because I kept arm wrestling her husband. And they knew I liked her because I offered her husband out. Anyway, to impress a girl, I once faked being a fan of Bronski Beat, who actually I don't mind too much.
Sure.
They had a couple of good tunes. Small Town Boy was good.
Yeah.
You know, and that album was a very good album.
Mm.
But anyway, I've also pretended to be into the Pasadena. And the Communards, I draw the line at.
The Pasadenas, though.
Yeah, I went to the Pasadena. No, that wasn't, again, not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Said the beat was right on. Little Richard and Elvis, too. We're back in the 60s when they was doing it for me and you. Music from the past.
Stop it.
Music from the young and the old. Music generation. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Beat was right.
I don't know what
Stop
just
it.
Happened.
Beat was right.
Confused.
On, right
the whole on. Scared.
Said the beat was right on. Said the beat was right on. Sing it with me.
No. I don't know it. I have no idea what you're singing.
Sing it, sister.
No idea.
Said the beat was right on, right on. If you're out there singing with Teach, said the beat was right on.
Good grief.
Okay. Gav orchestrated the situation, so a girl caught him working out a punch bag, which is hilarious.
So funny.
Actually, no, I did once pretend I was into ice skating. I went with a hangover, and that was when I... hit the barrier. I was sick, and I carried on skating. I smiled away, not realising...
You were sick over the barrier.
Over the barrier. So over funny. Some stunned children. Yeah. And the thing is, well, teenagers... But what was stunning about it is I then skated off with, I think, remnants.
Oh. Down your chin.
Down my chin. No, but really smiling it out, like, hi!
I'm fine!
I'm fine. These kids, all these kids were just looking horrified.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but that was... That didn't go well. I think because she could smell it on my breath.
Yeah. Oh.
This got us thinking about in the love hour. It's the love hour on the 4 till 7 thing. So from now on, we always warm up then with how long it took. And then we'll go into this at the halfway mark. And then we can... okay, nice. So David once pretended he needed glasses for 6 months because the girl said she found glasses attractive on men. To show his more sensitive side, Jake once told his girlfriend he cried watching Aladdin. I've got to tell you, that is pathetic. And despite not liking rugby, Phil got Gloucester RFC crest tattooed on his back. I tell you, the funny thing is, Harry's like fine with that.
Yeah.
And also, doing that is quite rugger. You'll get respect.
It is, yeah, yeah.
I don't even like Gloucester. Yeah. I got it tattooed for love, like, yeah. What you got there, Bobby Sue?
Martin of Manchester says, to impress my farmer of a father-in-law, I pretended that I knew how to farm. That was until he asked me to shear a sheep for him.
Nice. That's fantastic. That's
an awkward moment.
That's really awkward. Gav, what do you got?
Anon in Swindon says, a young lady I was courting a few years back was really into literature, and hoping to impress her, I admitted that I'd written a book, telling her the title and the details of the story. Hmm. She looked impressed, so I said I'd give her a signed copy. Guess what? I hadn't.
Oh my God.
I then spent the next month after work, every day and most weekends, writing a book. I self-published it on Amazon, bought myself a copy, signed it and gave it to her.
Whoa!
It was dreadful, full of spelling mistakes and a terrible plot. We lost touch soon afterwards.
Nice.
On the plus side, I did sort of become a published author and three other people bought it, so I made about a fiver's profit.
Say. And that's from...
Wow!
He wrote a book.
And that's from Martin Amis. This is from Joe in Stoke. I once told a girl I fancied that I'd been doing kickboxing for several years. When we were on our first date, we were approached by two men attempting to mug us. She looked at them extremely smug and then looked at me and nodded.
No!
Take it. I lost everything, including her and a couple of teeth. Tell us what you've done for love. 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
What a night.
Yeah, got some great pics on my new Galaxy S23 Ultra. Us on the dance floor.
Love it. Can you send me that?
A group selfie.
Fit. How do we look that good?
Nightography, babe. Stunning photos even in the dark.
Like in that dingy karaoke booth.
Exactly.
Send me, please.
And then this late night masterpiece.
Wow.
Right? Not bad for some fried chicken.
Send me that too.
The new Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra with epic nightography. Available now at Samsung.com.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Johnny, with your new Love Hour format, you're nearly reaching Simon Bates of our tune levels. Mm. Soon you'll be telling us you don't make valued judgments.
What a weighty thing.
I didn't get on very well with Simon Bates, I can't tell you.
Oh, did you know him?
I didn't quite. I mean, I don't think he had much professional respect for me. I know someone who used to be his producer.
Oh, yeah.
And they were flying to New York to record something.
Mm.
And he arrived smelling of alcohol, obviously thinking, well, I'll sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's what you do.
Mm. Sure.
And Bates didn't speak to him for the whole time. He thought it was just gracefully unprofessional. Ignored him. Always face it. I don't know why. I just love the thing. If you've ever known Bates, believe me, the idea of him ignoring you, I think it's worth doing just to have that happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we're looking at this couple who, like I say, 60 years. A couple who fell in love as teenagers have married 60 years later. Len Albrighton, now 79, who's about to go to Australia. He proposed to Jeanette Steer, 78, but her parents forbade her to go. He traced her home in Newport on the Isle of Wight in 2015. She had a husband, but she was widowed in 2017, and they married last month. I was just asking, who have you ended up with? Just tales of ending up with people.
Mm.
Amazing.
Just generally, in the Love Hour. We just heard the things you do for love. I guess these two waited for 60 years for love and got together eventually. So really, it's all part of the same wonderful place, isn't it? That place called love. Me and my wife were best friends for 10 years, married different people, her being my best man or best bird, as we called her, realised our mistake. We've been together for 19 years, married for 7.
Nice.
12-year wait there. What have you got there? Susan, what have you got?
Simon in Wigan says, just got together with an ex-girlfriend. 41 years since we first met. So watch this space.
I just say though, but that's you know, that's nearing that 60.
It
so it's only 19 off there.
It is.
You
it
know,
really
so
is.
We might be able to smash that record. If we can, you'll be in the papers. Just lie. Okay, here we go. What you got there, Gav?
Jemima says, I've known my husband for 52 years. He's known my mum for 55 years. We were next door neighbours when I was born.
Wow.
That's Jemima. That's amazing.
Yeah, that it really is. Well, there's a little bit of over the garden fence, isn't there?
There is there, yeah.
Well, I get this. You ready? Yeah. Jimmy from Birkenhead here. Childhood sweetheart since 15.
Yeah.
Stole her from me best mate. Regretted it ever since. Man alive, can she moan? three kids, no hair, me not hair, not married as I'm still hoping to escape the clutches of this devil woman.
Oh, wow. That wasn't how I thought it was going to go.
No, that's not.
That's a lovely story, isn't it?
It's very scouse, that, though.
Very,
it's very scouse.
There's a lot of affection in that story.
Yeah, there's loads. You wouldn't spot it.
No.
But it's that lack of affection that reflects how much love that there must be there for them. Jimmy, I'm not doing the explaining for you. You'll have to do it yourself now. What you got, Gav?
My now wife contacted me through a dating app. She didn't live close enough, so I fobbed her off. She messaged again 3 months later, by which point I'd moved to Hoxton from Chiswick. So accepted her offer, as her office was near my flat, so we could walk to meet for a drink after work. We've been together a decade now. That's rich in ethics.
Here's another one. Look, on our sorry, Suns, you go in there because we've got a part two, haven't we? Through oh no, that's gone. Go on, Suns, what you got?
Gaz in Wigan says, on our first date, I took my lady to Blackpool Pleasure Beach as she likes rides. Unfortunately, I didn't. Where she wanted to go on the big one.
Oh, I've been on that. It's terrifying.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. It is a proper ride.
It's huge.
Sorry.
I acted tough until the ride set off, gripped with white knuckles, looking straight forward. And she realised as we reached the very top, as she just looked at me all the way around asking if I was all right, as if nothing was happening.
That's
23
fantastic.
Years later and we're still going, 22 years engaged.
Are you all right, though? Are you all right? On the big one.
Wow.
Okay,
amazing.
Here it is. One of the best stories we've had in for a long time. This is genius. Thank you so much, Sean, for sharing this with us on the Love Hour on Radio X. Get this. Hey, gang, my uncle and aunt were married for the best part of 20 years. They couldn't stand each other, so they separated. They stayed married, though, as they couldn't afford a divorce.
Right.
After 7 or 8 years, my uncle has enough. He eventually filed for divorce.
Right.
The same week the divorce came through, my aunt and 9 of her work friends won $1.6 million on the lotto. Guess what?
What?
They're now living happily together, have been for about 5 or 6 years. Funny old game, love. Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. That is a treat.
Brilliant.
Radio X. So, Gwyneth Paltrow is in court over this ski crash. She's taken something. Her face looks tighter than normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't look like her. It looks like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know who it looks like.
It's like someone else.
It doesn't look like Gwyneth Paltrow, yes.
Okay, right.
It looks like someone who's literally sucked a lemon and is now frozen in that state of reaction. And
resting lemon face.
Yes, resting lemon face.
Right, right.
And so she collided with this 76-year-old.
Yeah.
He alleges that Paltrow is negligent on the slopes of Deer Valley Resort, smashed into him, leaving with a brain injury and 4 broken ribs. He's seeking $300,000. It always worries me when you sort of think to yourself, but if the person wasn't loaded, who you crashed into, would you be claiming it?
Well, also, if I had a brain injury, I'd be asking for a lot more than 300.
Right. No, no, I'll tell you about the, yeah, on to the, yeah, brain injury in a second, because, yeah, 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 I think we could all have a case.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go on.
Is that... Yeah, that's all that worries me. If,
yeah.
If she was there operating briefly, like... She was like, I don't know, some kind of... She was just... She was a cleaner who was out there doing something, or she was...
Would he be claiming?
In a,
yeah,
low-income,
yeah,
well, a traditional low-income job, or she worked for the resort,
yeah,
and was cleaning up some garbage.
It's probably dangerous for wealthy people to ski.
Right.
Because people are kind of just sort of getting in the way the whole
there
time.
There you go, yeah, Woodman. There you go. There you go. Because he's obviously thought, he said, someone afterwards said, you know, that was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, right. And that's when...
Oh, me ribs! Oh, no. Sorry, who are you?
Four of them.
Sorry, who said that? I don't know. Anyway, he wants $300,000 in damages. Mm. She's now countersued for $1.
Right. Just the principle of
it. To reflect the income.
Sure.
Saying he's the one who hit her.
Yeah.
The judge has now proved, and they've done drawings, that actually the key thing that's against Paltrow and the idea that he collided with her,
yes,
is gravity.
Right, because she was above,
yes,
on the mountain.
He'd have had,
yeah,
to have moved up the slope to have done that.
And he didn't have a jetpack.
He got any speed, yeah, up. Yeah, right. It's, unless he's found this new way
of skiing up
of skiing
hill.
Uphill, yeah, fast.
Sure.
Anyway, because it's to do with these ribs, which ribs were broken, the direction
impact
she was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
What's interesting is when he's talking about his personal interaction with his children suffered, he's got trouble multitasking. He's a bloke.
Right,
we've,
yeah,
all got,
yeah,
that.
Sure.
But also he says he would go to Home Depot,
mm,
and forget why he was there. That's not
a
sign of
anything,
mate. He's,
yeah,
76,
yeah,
years old. Yeah.
I did that in B&Q last week.
I do that in my kitchen most days.
Right, right.
And I go,
right.
In fact, literally any time I go into any other room for something, and this has been happening 20 years, it's a new room, new experience. It's called portal theory.
Right.
And actually, it's hard to remember if you're in a new place what you've got in there for, because new room, new energy.
Yeah, in fact, you've got to repeat the task in your,
yes,
head on the way in just,
right,
to make sure it stays there.
Yes. Or no, you say it loud as I do it.
Right.
Like now when I lock the door for the house.
Yeah.
Because the older you get, well, just as you go on in life,
yeah,
there's more things that are utterly forgettable that happen at every single
time. As part of the routine,
yeah,
right.
Do not confuse that for onset of dementia.
Yeah, yeah.
You or any kind of brain damage. There's so many things like turning the gas off,
yeah,
locking the house, that you just, why would you remember that? No, I remember doing that because I did.
I've done it a million times, yeah, yeah.
So automatic, then you should be more worried if you remembered it.
So do you chant, lock the door, lock the door, lock,
no,
the
I go,
door?
No, I do it like a minute, so I go, right, door locked.
Okay, check.
Yeah, check. I go, door locked. Door is locked, Captain.
Yeah.
So I do it as like a weird dialogue.
A checklist, yeah,
my,
yeah,
neighbour's a Chinese guy with a, right, dog, right, that always barks, but that also helps me,
mm,
as I go, because the next door neighbour's dog always barks, which is why I go, shut up! Always when I go in, which makes... And it's really weird because...
Is that every time you go in?
Every time I go in or out, the dog goes, behind the door, I go, shut up! And I was bringing Milton back from the nursery school the other day, yeah? And we go in there, and he was going, shut up! We go in there, and he went like that, and Milton went, shut up! I think, brilliant, brilliant.
Good,
yeah, he's going to be fine, yeah. Gas off, Captain. Radio off, Skipper.
Wow.
I had to return to the house twice this morning.
Because of this?
Because I'd forgotten things twice. I'd forgotten to take the bins, and then I'd forgotten to lock a window.
Why did you do a Birmingham accent for that?
I don't know.
No, you went lock a window?
I
forgot to lock a window.
X.
What a night.
Yeah, got some great pics on my new Galaxy S23 Ultra. I was on the dance floor.
Love it. Can you send me that?
A group selfie.
Fit. How do we look that good?
Nightography, babe. Stunning photos, even in the dark.
Like in that dingy karaoke booth.
Exactly.
Send me, please.
And then this late night masterpiece.
Wow.
Right? Not bad for some fried chicken.
Send me that too.
The new Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra with epic nightography. Available now at Samsung.com.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I was just reading this article about the key to a happy life.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And what gets me about any time I read Key to a Happy Life, I think, oh, I'm going to read this. I have quite a happy life. I'm going to read,
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Is that I'm never staggered by the results.
No, it's always fairly obvious, isn't it?
No, what it always is, mm, is actually what they're talking about is boring.
Oh.
Like what?
Keep it boring.
Right, keep it uneventful.
Well, phrases like emotionally stable.
Sure.
Boring.
Yeah.
Right.
A level income.
You know, boring. He says the key to a happy life is emotional stability. Really? I didn't know. I'm surprised at that.
Stay relaxed.
No, but I'm surprised. I mean, you know, you sort of think, you're telling me that. You know, I'm surprised he didn't say being volatile, going out, being you know, partnered up with someone who's volatile, psycho.
Massive ups and downs.
Massive ups and downs.
Real extremes.
Mood swings, especially after, like, drinking. What's the key to... That's it. Volatility. Completely unpredictable. Don't know how they're going to react to anything at any time. Are there other things that are key to it? Having a kid that's up all night screaming.
Right.
That'll help you out.
You okay, hon?
No, but I'm just saying, please, if you're going to give me advice, at least give me some advice.
Yeah, right,
don't
tell
me what's apparently bloody obvious.
Also, that's so sweeping. If you're like an adrenaline junkie, that's not going
right.
to make
yeah, that's
you happy,
no good for the
it?
Hang glider, is
no.
it? Yeah.
So I like to do base jumping because it's, you know, it just keeps me stable.
It's on an even keel, yeah.
Just, nothing really when I'm going down there.
Yeah.
I'll open the chute about 20 feet above terra firma. But,
if I could be bothered, yeah.
If I could be asked. otherwise, boom, splat. And then I'll be quite happy, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is it just? I'm just. If you're going to give us advice, right?
Yeah.
About stuff we don't know. I'll go on. Right? You ready?
Is it like a good amount of sleep?
It gets. Yeah. Right.
Oh, come
don't
on.
Tell me 8 hours a night.
Yeah.
The key to a happy life is completely be unambitious,
unsurprised, no surprises.
But if you want this sort of stuff, you open the Bible. Sort of turn the other cheek.
That's right.
Accept it.
Do they say you've got to be sort of healthy as well?
Well, yes. The thing is, Gav, is if it's like a lot of Christianity people forget in the Bible is written about how to be written about in Roman times.
Yeah.
So it's about how to be a good citizen under Rome. So if they
tell
you to do that, say, I'll carry it another mile.
That's right.
If they batter you in the cheek, you say, here's the other cheek.
I'll help my neighbour.
Yes, I'll get you right.
Right.
It's how to be a good, don't question authority.
Yeah.
Because you'll get it in the next world. It'll be fine.
Sure. Yeah,
so if it's life might seem a bit cruel here, just accept it. Yeah. It's fine because don't worry about what's happening now. It's in the next life. Get this.
Yeah.
The key to a happy life is emotional stability. A new study revealed.
Yeah. Anything about a big telly?
Career, social, and overall life satisfaction, regardless of age, work, or social situation.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, right, yeah. Those who were conscientious had greater work satisfaction.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what follows from that?
Yeah, no, but he was such a good employee. You know, he really was.
He
so
ended up liking his job.
No, he was really conscientious. No, everyone liked him. No, he never got promoted, ever. But he was just really, you know, he always made me a cup of tea.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
So, you know, I had that terrible experience when I got lent a test drive car by BMW.
Oh, yes. Yes. And it wasn't charged.
No, Vanessa and I went down just to Babington House down in the country. And I had to celebrate. And it was a nightmare. The range anxiety, it arrived, BMW, it was the worst weekend. BMW hadn't charged it up when the guy arrived, which completely threw us. Basically, BMW just threw us the worst curveball.
They basically gave you some homework.
Yes. No, they and I didn't know about electric cars. They basically provided us, but with a inept driver who showed up with it late. With the most miserable weekend imaginable. If I'd known that, I just wouldn't. I can mess up by myself.
Sure.
I don't need the help of BMW. Anyway, I'd heard it only takes a second to charge. Charging it for an hour, 1% or something. Waitrose. Anyway, get this. So it is with some degree of surprise.
Yeah.
That I read this, a Scottish couple, and I would tell you now, if you're listening, don't do this.
Okay.
Are preparing to drive from the North Pole to the South Pole in a climate-friendly 4x4 car.
Oh.
Are you nuts?
An electric 4x4?
Yes.
That's the worst idea in the world ever.
Well, anyone who tries a journey of more than 150 miles in an electric vehicle in Britain will probably fret about a lack of charging points. That's because in Britain, like this new date for 2050, when we've got to have sorted the world by. Funny,
because
a couple of years ago, it was 2028.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I would think the oil companies relaxing so much with that 2050 deadline.
Absolutely.
Basically, it's a deadline no one can relate to.
Yeah.
No.
Genius.
Yeah.
Oil companies, man.
Sure.
Anyway, sure. They've killed us all. Anyway, the Ramses, that's the name of the couple, they have a Nissan Ariya SUV. It's got a suspension, its tyres are 1 metre in diameter. And They've got a, luckily, they've got a trailer.
Ah.
More weight.
Yeah.
Which has got a wind turbine and solar panels.
Right.
Yeah, good luck with that in the Arctic. Heating those up, right?
I mean, look, they're going from the north to the South Pole.
Yeah. Yes.
So they're going down the whole of Africa. Is that the idea?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Wow. Good luck.
Yeah, that's
that.
Not going to go that
I'm just
well.
Saying, it's just the Arctic isn't a place to mess up the
tour. No, it isn't.
When you're
no.
sitting in that car and one of you says, we can have... We can have the radio for 15 minutes, but no heating, you know?
But it's 50 below.
Yes. We're travelling 10 months because we're going season to season.
Mm.
In the summer in the Arctic, we'll benefit from the sun for solar. In the Antarctic, that'll be 24-7 daylight as well. So there we go.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Chris Ramsay has tackled long journeys in electric cars before, et cetera, et cetera. They're mad. They are mad.
It's a great tip from a listener here, though. It'll work really well as long as they do the whole thing on board a ferry.
Yes, brilliant yes. tip. Absolutely brilliant tip, yeah.
Yeah, just put it on a ship. Yeah.
Yeah, or put the car on the back of something that's powered by diesel.
Trunk, yeah.
But also, you can't drive across the whole South Pole, across the Antarctic.
No.
It could just sink in.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they might go in the summer, but in the summer it's more slushy.
Exactly,
weirdly.
Yeah.
At least the winter it's nice and packed. Mm. Packed solid.
Well, there isn't even a highway code for these areas.
But everyone thinks the Antarctic in the summer when it's daylight, they think there's not a cloud in the sky. They think it's just bright sunshine every day. It's like stepping out on a nice crisp day. It's not.
No,
it's hell. It's hell out there.
Radio X.
Cats bring birds and mice into the house.
Mm.
Not as gifts for their owners. I honestly think it's a present. They're proud of it.
Right.
Oh.
Hey, Tibbles does that. Tibbles is just very proud of his sadism. Not that, you know, Her Majesty probably had one. Mm. Anyway, turns out it's not that at all.
What is it?
It's because they won't be pounced on by other predators.
Oh, so they're bringing it into the lair?
Yes, yeah.
To safely dismember
it's
and...
solution farm. Yeah. Well, it's exactly a serial killer mindset, isn't it? It brings them back. You know, like all serial killers have a lair they take them to. Well, that's exactly what it is.
Keeping a memento, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose again.
Yeah. James Gunn. You don't meet many kids called James.
I'd forgotten about that. It's so
weird.
Yeah,
he's called James Gunn.
J-A-M-E.
Yes. And I just think it'd be hilarious if one day you met someone who called their kid that going, I don't know where we heard it. You think shall I tell him? Shall I tell him where? No, we both remembered it. We can't remember from. Yeah. Oh, I can. Anyway. So in Being Your Cat, a new book, Daniel Mills and Celia Haddon say that the behavior is more common among extroverted cats with low levels of anxiety.
Right.
How would you characterize your cat on that? Because I know they do very wildly in their character. Gavin, your last cat passed, you got your new cat.
Yeah, my new cat is a young female.
Right.
So she's pretty house catty. She doesn't go out much.
Right.
Not really. We haven't got a cat flap for a start, so it's a real pain letting her out.
Yeah.
That'll stop it, yeah. Well, actually, if they're determined, they're going to be windows, anything.
That's true.
Is a means of aggression.
Yeah, plus it's winter. You know, we haven't had her long, so we'll find out this summer whether she's a big mouser.
Have you got one of those rare-ass breed cats?
Yeah, it's. I can't remember the name of it. Persian, British, blue.
Oh, but it's a rare-ass breed.
I don't know how rare they are.
It's beautiful.
You just want to say rare ass. No, she looks like a cappuccino.
Yeah, so what if I do?
She looks like Satan's cappuccino.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
She looks like a clown.
But how would you characterize her in terms of?
I don't know. I don't know what her game is like mouse wise. I'd like to see what she's like.
Because I think they change according to first of all their age.
Mm.
I mean, really markedly with ones we used to have as mouses when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But also, like as soon as they've had a procedure at vets and things, suddenly you touch it below the neck and it's like
right.
Well,
right.
It is the old Bombay firework.
And they're never the same again.
Right. Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Dr. S, how would you characterise yours?
Lazy.
Just lazy?
Well, she's 18 this year, so she sleeps and eats. That's
what is that
much
in human
it.
Years?
She's kind of... like in her 80s, I think.
Oh, right.
Okay,
right,
she's had low levels of anxiety.
I would say so, yeah. She doesn't really have to be anxious about much. She just...
Is she an very much an indoor cat?
Oh, yes. She doesn't go out ever.
Just like Keith Richards.
I admire people who have, you know, a flat in London.
Yeah.
No garden. They've got, you know, they let them out the window. It's fine. A cat comes back. You know, like some sort of weird homing cat. Yeah, right. Just have a shed full of them. You just let them out.
Like a parkour cat.
Basically, they did have like homing cats, like homing pigeons.
Yeah.
And they took them 10 miles away.
Yeah, right.
And you raced them home. They'd get home.
I'd love to
I
see
that. I think
that
would be genius. Good at that, yeah.
Put a little GoPro on each one.
Yes.
Let's see the race.
No, I like the mystery.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. Incidentally, the answer to your question was 5.43 to 5.45 on Thursday, March the 23rd, 2023. That's when this was recorded. Radio.